White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 790, The Zone. A couple of people get that.
This is Sonny Smith, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
A big win. The basketball team is heating up at just the right time. And John and I are coming home. The AU Wishbone is next.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, and soon down on the plains, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, are you alive out there?
I am, Van. I'm a little rough patch this weekend, but I'm back on my feet and I'm ready to go to Auburn. And by the time some of you listen to this, Van and I will be traveling in that direction.
We will be. Oh, it's not long. I've already made my arrangements for Friday for my classes. They're all taking midterm exams, so I will not be there to answer their questions. They can figure it out for themselves or get it wrong, baby, because I will not be there. My understanding is that Jared is has been sick too, so it's like somehow I'm the healthy one of the three of us. That's never the case, but here we are.
Knocking on wood when we say this.
I'm telling you, I better not get sick between now and this coming weekend. I'm usually pretty lucky about these kind of things. You know, I usually get sick at Dragon Con, not before Dragon Con, for example. But yeah, I sure do not want to tempt fate this week. So I might walk around in a spacesuit the rest of the week. So we're going to try not to overtax John tonight. He's been on his deathbed the last couple of days. So I'm going to try to zip us through our show tonight in record time and minimally. And I say that we'll go an hour and a half and minimally stress him. But, oh, you know what? I just realized, I just saw my note. I was supposed to talk to Zach Blackerby about our upcoming thing. So I'm going to make a note here. So I'll check in with him. May not have a chance to do it now between now and we'll see. But what we were talking about is we have the book signing coming up. This is the last chance we're going to have. We got to talk about it here really quickly. This is the last chance we're going to have to tell you. March 8th, this coming Friday, Little Professor Bookstore in Homewood, 5 p.m. Come by and see us. They're going to have beer and snacks and stuff. And we're going to have some kind of a conversation about Auburn football, Auburn basketball, our new book, first time ever, about the 89 Iron Bowl, and our Auburn basketball book. They'll have paperback and hardcover of both. We'll have a limited, tiny, small, little number of the ones that say Virginia Double Dribbled on the cover instead of Auburn Basketball. People have been wanting those, so come out and get that. I've heard from a handful of people that are planning to be there for sure and looking forward to meeting them, but I'm hoping we get a nice crowd at that event on Friday, and then we're driving down, and on Saturday afternoon from 1 to like 4:30, we're going to be at the Auburn Oil Booksellers near Toomer's Corner doing the same thing over again for the Auburn crowd right before we go to the Georgia basketball game, and Van eats about 17 free ice cream sandwiches. So very, very excited about that. Any final thoughts from you about that before we move along?
Come on out, say hi in one of those places, come buy a book, get us to sign it, or just stop by. We'd love to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember to...
I want you to put the word out there.
Yeah, because we need to let people know. All right, let's see. Next up. It's the Auburn Fun Meter, our weekly look at how much fun it is to be an Auburn fan this week on a scale of 0 to 10. And I got to tell you, we had the Mississippi State Revenge Festival, I believe, on Saturday. What was the, I don't even remember, what was the Wednesday game?
The Tennessee game was before we lost.
No wonder I put that
and
up.
Then we had the Mississippi State game and Leor got hurt.
Ugh,
so there's, yeah. And, but also the women's team had a big win on Sunday. They're probably going to the dance. So there was a lot of, you know, some positives or some negatives in the week, but I think overall the teams were playing well, and it was, yeah, we had some good basketball this week. So I'm going to say I'm like a 7.
I'm going to go an 8 just because I enjoyed that Mississippi State victory so much. I know, and we played Tennessee really well. That's I was sad we lost to Tennessee, but I was not crushed because I felt like we represented ourselves really well in that game.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about those next. So let's go ahead and get into it. Yeah, so Tennessee, 92-84 over Auburn. Jalen Williams came back in, kind of lifted up the team. He wasn't 100%, I don't think, but he played. You wouldn't have known anything was wrong with him, you know, if you didn't know he was hurt before. He seemed like he was okay.
Well, but before that game, we had no idea what the timetable was. We didn't know when he'd be back or what he'd look like when he came back. So when they said he was dressed and he was going to play, that was a big spark, I think.
I was shocked. I thought it would be the SEC tournament at the soonest. So clearly he was hurt. He was hurting, but he wasn't hurt that badly, relatively speaking. And then thank goodness for that. And now on the other hand, even though we played well on offense and defense, this Kinect guy, what the Kinect, man? He just went on fire. Nobody could slow him down.
Yeah, he went in fuego and, you know, Auburn played really well. This is crazy to say. Like, I think Auburn played really, really well in that game.
Yes.
And I think if you're an Auburn fan, you should come away from that game feeling good. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's a top five team in the country, and we went into their building and played toe-to-toe with them. And the only reason they won is because this guy went unconscious. He was so hot. Like, we played good defense against him, and he still made shots. I don't think there's anything you could do. So I'm with you. I did not hang my head after that game.
No, we were within like 4 to 6 points of them at the worst through the entire game. We never had one of those lulls where we get 10, 12 behind and can't make a shot for 6 minutes in a stretch.
And in the middle of the game, before he went crazy, we went on a run.
Took the lead.
We went on a 23-6 run in their building.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. If you had him play normally, we win that game by maybe even double digits. And then they turn around and beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, tells you anything, right? So, Tennessee's playing really well right now. They are definitely a top five team. They may be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and they're playing like it. And and I'm not betting against them anytime soon. And so, I mean, if we end up losing the conference to them, fine. I mean, I'm sorry we didn't get them in Neville. That's the only thing.
Sure. That's fair.
But we could still see them again. You never know how it's going to play out. If we can get past the inevitable Texas A&M game.
What scares me on the horizon is potentially a Florida first round matchup for us.
Yeah, but it won't be in Gainesville, though, and we'll have the revenge factor. So there's a little bit there. A little bit on it, but Florida's been playing so much better the last 2 or 3 weeks. They've been really
good.
They're one of the most improved teams. And did they not like take Kentucky to overtime or something? Or they didn't? They had a real So they're playing really well right now, and they got good guard play, and that's what you need at this time of the year too. There have been stretches where our 2 point guards, I felt good about them, and there's been times I'm like, yeah. And I thought I think one of the TV announcers, maybe on either against Tennessee or against Mississippi State, said something to the effect of, Auburn has good guards, but they're not like the top echelon of the SEC. And I thought that's relatively fair because there are some things they do well. They don't turn it over that much. They make good assists. There was a time that Trey Donaldson was making a lot of shots. He's kind of, and especially 3-pointers. He hadn't really been trying the last several games, it doesn't seem like.
I feel like he was a little more aggressive against State, and I think he's coming back and feeling it a little bit after that game.
So. And Holloway is shooting marginally better, but not great, and he's still not taking shots inside the 3-point line much. So, and neither one of them wants to take it to the rim. We have KD Johnson for that pretty much. So I feel like we still have we have some really good strengths, and we have some glaring weaknesses, and a team like that's going to be. I think our max is the second round of the NCAA tournament.
I don't think so.
I hope you're right. Well, that defense could make up a big difference, depending on who we get.
Van, Let me tell you about a little place out in the desert called Las Vegas.
Okay? I've heard of it, yeah.
Those people know a few things out there.
They do.
And if you ranked all the teams in the country based on how likely it is they get to the Final Four, mm-hmm. what number do you think Auburn is? Like, if you start at one and they're the most likely team, say UConn.
Right.
You know, and then Tennessee's up there and Arizona, whatever. Then you Purdue. If you keep going, what number do you think before you get to Auburn in terms of, like, money that right. people and where Las Vegas is thinks the line is?
Well, the first thing I think of is 1 through 16 are going to make it to the Sweet 16. And I'm not sure we make it to the Sweet 16. So I'm going to say below 16. I'll say 17.
Seventh.
Wow.
So Las Vegas mm-hmm. thinks Auburn is the seventh most likely team to make the Final Four.
Okay. Well, they put their money where their mouth is, so you can't argue with that.
And I'm putting my money where my mouth is. This team has got it.
Okay.
That Tennessee team, we're not going to see a team that good until the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So they've got us in the Elite Eight. I'll take another Elite Eight trip.
They're
I would happily.
More likely than Alabama, more likely than Kentucky.
Wow.
More likely than Florida, South Carolina.
Okay.
I'm just
I hope they're right.
I'm just throwing that there. I want Auburn fans to have a little confidence.
Yeah. Oh, I had us at the top of the heap that didn't go to the Sweet 16, but I'll take another Elite. We've only been to the Elite Eight twice. Of course, Alabama's only been once, and they've never been beyond that. But I will take another Elite Eight trip. I'd be happily. I thought that the team 2 years ago was going to get us there, and they didn't. So I will happily take that for sure. You had a note here that Auburn hadn't really lost when it played well until this game.
It's just something we talked about. A lot of the other games we lost this year, Auburn played poorly.
Didn't shoot
the ball over a lot. We shot really poorly.
Yeah.
We didn't play as well in defense.
Yeah.
And this game, I feel like Auburn played really, really well and lost. And so that's especially the Connect stuff and their offense. I'm just going to tip my cap to Tennessee and feel like, you know.
And this was the most points scored against us, even over Baylor, that we lost.
Only three teams had scored 80 on us. Nobody had scored 90, mm-hmm. and they scored 92. So,
well, I mean,
and again, I feel like we played pretty good defense. And they scored 92. So,
yeah, it's true. All right. Well, what about the Mississippi State game? I'd much rather talk about 78-63. Yeah. That 78-63 is much more of an Auburn score this year, right? Like, 78 is an all right offensive output. 63 is a really good number for us to hold a team to, especially a team as big and athletic as they are.
No team in the country has more wins by double digits than Auburn.
Every win we've had the entire season. This stat blew my mind. We have not won a game that was not a double-digit win.
Yes.
That's incredible. We haven't had a single buzzer beater every game has been double-digit. That's insane.
It's a little bizarre.
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention this while I'm thinking about it. I don't think I have it in the show notes coming up. But our schedule really does play out very well now the rest of the way, not just because of who we're playing, but, you know, I've noted before that this team doesn't seem to play as well on 3 days rest as they do on four or more days rest, particularly their shooting. They short it a lot when they're on 3 days rest, and especially Broome Holloway. And although, honestly, Broome shoots three-pointers about the same regardless of anything. I wish he'd shoot his free throws from the three-pointer line. But anyway, this is just working out really well. We played Mississippi State on Saturday, which was a really tough game. Then we play on Tuesday, but against the worst team by far in the league, Missouri. So if there's any team in the SEC that you could play on 3 days rest on the road and still hope for a victory, it's Missouri, right?
The conference, Missouri.
Yes. So that just, again, if we played on Wednesday, you don't need 4 days rest to play Missouri, theoretically. Again, we could lose to Missouri. That's fine. But I'm just saying, I'm talking about the odds. You know, I know that anything is possible. But in terms of the odds, if there's one team that you don't mind playing on the road with 3 days rest, it's Missouri, hopefully. And then, because you played on Tuesday, you get 4 days rest before playing Georgia at home to finish out the season. I just think that stacks out. It just is laid out so well for us.
we're going to have to play like absolute garbage to lose either one of those games, which could happen.
Yeah, I'm not going to wood when you say that. But no, I mean, the last game against Georgia, home game, senior day, you know, the crowd's going to go bananas. So they're going to pick that team up. The crowd is going to pick that team up and carry it.
Yes, that's true. I am a little concerned. We don't play well at Missouri. I've gone to a couple there and we've lost when we had the better team, I thought. It is their senior night.
Yes.
So we got to be careful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think we got the gist of what John was saying there. We can't roll out of bed and expect to beat anybody and just show up and, yeah. So
that's it.
Anything else about the Mississippi State game? You had a note. Okay, so you had a note here about Alabama, about the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa.
So the when we lost to Mississippi State in Starkville, the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa was that week. And that game, the Alabama loss was like a hangover.
Yes.
And it impacted how we felt and how the team was going into the Mississippi State game. And this time, we lost to Tennessee on the road, and then we went to Starkville, and they didn't let it impact them and beat them again. So I feel like we learned something or grew from that Alabama loss, and it didn't beat us twice. The Tennessee game didn't do that to us.
That's a really good point. Yeah, if you're looking for signs of growth and improvement, that is a good point, a good thing to kind of hang your hat on. You also mentioned in our show notes that Auburn's defense against Mississippi State, they couldn't score at all to begin the game. They were struggling to do anything.
We dominated them out of the gate, jumped on them with both feet, gave them no hope. You know, it was like more than halfway through the first half, and they didn't have double digits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was...
But we weren't pulling away, though, is the only thing. They were playing pretty good defense, too, and we weren't hitting everything. But there's some more interesting stats along that coming up. All right, so let's hit a few of these really quick. 9 blocks and 8 steals, pretty good for Auburn.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're ending their possessions, taking the ball away without them even getting a shot in those situations. So that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. You mentioned that they out-physicaled us in Starkville, but it seemed like it turned around the other way this time.
Yeah, I think it has to do with that defense. Auburn came out and was not going to let them set the tone with physicality. And I think we went into that game in Starkville maybe tired because of the intensity and the emotional high that Alabama game in Tuscaloosa. And we got pushed around a little bit, especially our guards. I feel like got pushed around in that game, and that didn't happen in this game. They did not let Mississippi State do that to them.
No, that's true. That's true. Trey Donaldson, you noted, good game. I didn't know – I mean – I feel like both of our point guards do about the best they can, and they're both kind of struggling in different times. Trey was playing really well in the middle of the season. He's kind of tapered off a little bit. I don't know what's going on.
He did, but I feel like this game he kind of came back. I mean, he had a good assist-to-turnover ratio, and he scored a few points. So,
and we've got other people we knew could score on the team, and they're finally starting to do it. Chaney Johnson and Denver Jones both. And of course, Chad Baker-Mazzara, when he's not freaking out, angry at the refs or whatever, is playing way above what we thought he could do.
Well, you knew those guys all had scoring potential, right? I mean, Denver Jones was led a conference in scoring last year, like 22 points a game or whatever. And Chaney Johnson obviously has a lot of ability. And Baker-Mazzara, you could see that guy could show up in any game and score 20 points. So those guys have the potential. And I think they're all starting to get hotter now than they have, and we're getting them in good positions. But I think their confidence is growing. You can see Chaney Johnson feeling it a little bit.
Yeah, I think that as they get more comfortable playing together over the course of this season and get more willing to take chances, to take shots, you know, sometimes it's easier just to make the pass than to drive or make the shot.
Yeah.
And these guys are realizing you got to step up and score. We need everybody to score. And you had a note about us getting hot in March.
Well, you said that at one of the first episodes we recorded about basketball season. You said, I want the team to be hot in March. I'd want the team to be hot in December or January.
Right. Because that's 2 years ago, that's what happened. That was the number one team in the country in January. And by March, we couldn't even beat Texas A&M or Miami.
That's right. And this team, I think, is coming on, getting better. I think defensively, they've been consistently excellent, and offensively they're getting better and better and better. And this is the stat for you: in the last 5 games, this is from Justin Ferguson, in the last 5 games Auburn is shooting 44% from 3-point range. That is the best in all of Division I college basketball.
That's insane. That Auburn is the best three-point shooting team. That
in
I mean,
the last five games of anyone.
How? I just can't believe it. I think
Auburn fans think we're much worse shooters than the team is. I think that's part of it. But I also think they're shooting better now than they were 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I think it's objectively true. I think they are.
Well, we just had a couple of long stretches there in games and over the season where we were really shooting terrible. Like there was a game where we went like 2 for 35 or something from three-pointers.
Yes.
So that certainly gets into your brain, and it's hard to overcome that, you know. But that's incredible. So, yeah, I'll take it. I know that, you know, Broome is like one of our most reliable three-point shooters now. The one place I feel like we've regressed on three-point shooting, other than Aiden Holloway, which is a whole other chapter of the book, is Jalen hasn't been taking as many three-point shots or making them. He's kind of faded back. Even before he got hurt, it seemed like Jalen was stepping back from being the scoring machine he's capable of being. And I don't understand that.
I mean, I think teams are teams are focusing on him. Before he... I think teams are like, we gotta, that's the guy we gotta take out, even sometimes more than Broome. And I think they were, you know, guarding him heavily and denying him the ball in the spots he liked to get it and stuff. And I think these other guys making shots is gonna open it back up for him.
Well, let's look at the current standings. The page won't come up. That's weird. Well, I'll get it from somewhere else then. I'll go to CBS. SEC page doesn't come up for me.
The SEC website is down. That's just typical.
All right. So Tennessee 13-3, South Carolina 12-4. It just seems so bizarre to me that South Carolina, who we beat by 40, is ahead of us. I thought when we beat them by 40, they were going to fall apart and not win another game the rest of the season, but they're ahead of Alabama. Well, they're tied with Alabama 12-4. And then we're tied with Kentucky 11-5. So there's a 13, two 12s, two 11s, and then Florida lurking there at 10.
But also, like, again, Tennessee and Kentucky are playing each other. Alabama's playing Florida. And I think Tennessee's playing South Carolina too, I think. So there's a bunch of losses that are going to happen on this at the top of this page between now and the end of the season.
For sure, yeah. And I mean, we're going to end up 13-5 if everything holds to form. So right now,
Tennessee goes to South Carolina and then hosts Kentucky.
So there is a chance that Tennessee the best we could do right now is tie Tennessee, but South Carolina would beat Tennessee for that to happen. That would put them at 13. You could conceivably have like three or four teams tied for the championship this year.
Yes, and there's no tiebreakers. You just all share it.
Wow.
And again, the double bye thing matters. We'd like to finish in the top four so we get the second round bye in the SEC tournament.
This is the problem. The teams that we need to beat Tennessee so that we're still in the running are down there with us and would move up if they beat Tennessee.
Yes.
So it's kind of a, you know, catch 22 situation there. But anyway, it's not completely done. I don't expect us to win the SEC, but we're not eliminated, and it could be a whole a train wreck at the top of the standings, and we'll just see how it plays out. But in any case, right now we're in the top four, and if we can keep winning, we're not going to go down.
That's right.
If we go 2-0 the rest of the way, we're not going to go down.
Nope.
So there you go. All right. I feel good about it. So coming up Tuesday at Missouri at 8 o'clock, man, this is why I can't go to that game, because it starts at 8 o'clock Central in Missouri. It goes till probably 10 something, and then by the time I got home, it would be 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's just not going to work. It really makes me sick. But they're 0-16. How are you that bad, Missouri? What in the world?
And they were not bad last year. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I think I've got the worst coach in the world segment, and I don't even know his name. Who's the Missouri coach? I don't even know.
I'll get it. Keep going.
All right. And then Saturday, March 9 versus Georgia at 5:30 Central. Remember, come see John and me at the bookstore, and then we'll amble all over to Neville Arena to catch the game. Should be fun. It'll be senior day. Should be very exciting. We'll be seeing the last of at home for Jalen and for Lior. Feel bad for Lior, but And I noted that he said he wanted to play professionally in Israel, and Bruce says he still got a chance to fulfill his dream of playing professionally. And I'm like, what? In Israel? I'm like, oh, okay. That was how that conversation went. Was like, Bruce says that Leor Berman still has the possibility of fulfilling his lifelong dream of playing professionally. And I'm like, what? In Israel. Oh, okay. And I want to close out the basketball talk by pointing out that in the scholarship donor type area of the arena, they have free ice cream sandwiches last time we were there. And I keep telling people how awesome that is. And I told my wife, yeah, I went and got a free ice cream sandwich. It was amazing. And she's like, we can buy ice cream sandwiches for you. And I'm like, it's not the same. It's just not the same, man. And the analogy I'd make real quick is that my roommate in graduate school was from Mobile, and we went down to Mardi Gras one time, and he's like, you got to catch a moon pie. Catch it being thrown off a Mardi Gras float. It's delicious. And I'm like, well, you could go get some moon pies. It's not the same. He says, it imbues a magical taste to it to fly through the air from a Mardi Gras float, and it's not nearly as good if you buy it in a box in the store, even though that's what they do, right? They just buy them in the box and throw them off the float. And I get that. I get that, because it's the same thing with the free basketball ice cream sandwiches. It's absolutely the same thing. So, anyway, there's my thought on that. Any final basketball thoughts?
I think we're going to have fun this week.
I think so. Let's beat Missouri on Tuesday, and then we'll get down there and get it done. Wrap it up.
Amen.
Good. It's been a good season. I know people – I was having a Twitter argument with some guy about the basketball team, like, you know, oh, your expectations are too low. And I'm like, compared to who? This is Auburn basketball, man. What are we thinking?
The media picked us to finish like sixth or seventh. We're going to finish, you know, third or fourth.
And with a possibility of winning.
Yes, and this team has been really fun. I'm pretty happy.
People just need to take a pill. That's all. Just go to the doctor and say, I need a pill. What kind of pill? I need a pill.
But I got to say this. If you're an Auburn basketball fan and you're like, I expect perfection, and I'm mad anytime we even look bad for a few minutes or whatever. Like, you sound like a Kentucky fan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I told my friend at campus today that I would mention him because I asked. He's, you know, the big Kentucky guy. He's pretty dialed in. His family's very dialed in. He's not, but he likes it, but he's not really dialed in. But he says they really want to get rid of Cal, but he's got a lifetime contract. There's no buyout. They can't get rid of him until he leaves. And yet he said, if he turns it on and like wins the tournament or gets to the Final Four or something, they'll forgive him and it'll all be good again. It's just that he says the Kentucky fans are mad because he keeps bringing in all these stud young players and they struggle and then they go to the NBA and they're all-stars. And he's like, he says, it's great that we're getting these young men and sending them off to the NBA, but we'd like to win at Kentucky with them. You know, and they're getting really frustrated that he seems to be better at bringing in the players than actually winning games with them. I blame Tony Barbee.
I do too.
Because why not?
But also, my heart really breaks for them.
If there's anybody in this world that you feel sorry for not having enough success, it's Kentucky basketball fans, right?
You got that right.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's look at football real quick. Spring practice, John. It's underway. What do we know?
Spring is sprung, at least in football practice. They practiced for a few days and then had a break. Now it's actually spring break.
Yep.
And the team's off, but they had a few practices. We didn't learn a great deal.
No.
We'll have some actual scrimmages and physical contact when they get back, and then a day. What did we learn, if anything, Van?
We know that it's Peyton Thorne's job to lose. And we'll see if he loses it. I think the only quarterback he could lose it to is Walker White.
Okay.
I'm going out on a limb and say that. I could be completely wrong, but I feel like there's no chance he loses the job to anybody that's already on the roster, not just coming in. I think that the only one with the upside to actually take it away from him would be the newcomer. Now, I haven't seen anything so far. What, you have a note about somebody else?
Well, we just... I don't know if you haven't seen the pictures. Okay, Cam Coleman is gigantic. He is huge. He looks like Terrell Owens or AJ Brown or something. I'm not kidding. In the arms and the legs, he is a giant grown human being. And it is very exciting.
I just Googled his name and Auburn practice, and there's a picture of him standing about a foot taller than the guy he's next to.
And look at his arms.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I hope he can contribute and get us going then.
I mean, I think, and because he was here, I think with some of the bowl practices, when they split up in the newcomers and the returners, he was in the returners.
I did see that. Yeah, they had him with the returning players. I thought that was very interesting. So, all right. So that's good. We'll see. We'll learn a lot more in the days to come. They're just out basically stretching and crap right so far. But we'll.
That's it. And we'll get, a little bit of new, players and coaches we had, but not.
And learning a new playbook.
Learn a new offense and new defense, right? So I think that's a lot of what's going on. But also, I think there was a lot of talk about accountability and holding each other accountable to do the right thing more often and stuff.
I feel like the coaching staff tried to do that, and now the players are doing that, and that's good because, yeah, it's a big thing with Freeze, right? Is the whole, culture, right attitude. All right, so that's football, and then I guess we'll go ahead and do Formula One update. I was going to have the Formula One. Let me see. Actually, hold on a minute. It is time for our. It's going to do. It's going to run a dang commercial.
Look what a lawn track.
I can't win, John. Here we go. I bet John can't hear it. It's time for the AU Wishbone Fantasy Formula One update. And I felt like having the Formula One theme playing in the background would be good for this segment. So we've had one race, and we have standings. And here are the current top 10. Number 10 is Rob Morgan, Jumping Tiger. Number 9, Eric Morgan with Scuderia Aguila Guerra. Number 8, Lane Middleton with Wilmer Kishkikrikamessidrao. Number 7 is Eric Morgan with Mississippi Racing. Number 6 is me with Toro Plexico. Number 5 is Joshua Corbett with Aubimobile. There we go. I had to get it cranked up again. Number 4 is me, my other team, with Alpha Plexi. Number 3 is Joshua Corbett with Tiger Transit. And number 2 is Alexandra Ringer with Ringers Ringers. And number 1, after one race, leading the pack, is Alan J. Porter with Megrin Racing. So, Alan is leading. Alexandra's in second. So, there's your Fantasy Formula One update. But I will say this. The number of points separating number 6 to number 1 is just 19 points. So it's very tight early on. I think everybody's basically got the same team right now. So we'll see how it shakes out. If you want to jump in before the second race coming up this weekend and get up to 2 teams in the Fantasy Formula One League, just go to www.auwishbone.com, sign up, become a patron, and... you can join the league. And I believe I put out the... Did I not send out the link? I think I did on the patrons. I'll have to check and make sure. I hope I did. I'll double check that.
I think you did. But yeah. We can...
All right. Well,
if you did not get it, let Van and I know. How about that?
Let's see. We've got 13 total teams, right? Oh, Alan's other team is number 13, so he's number 1 and number 13.
Did my team not show up? My team has the best name.
No, I only see 13. There's 14.
I created
14.
A team, and somehow I'm not in the league.
I don't know.
Figure it out.
There's 14 total teams.
My team is called Staff of Jones Barbecue and Massage.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, no, I don't see it. Dang it. I don't understand what happened. That's really weird. Maybe you made the team. Did you enter it in the league? You have to, once you make the team, you have to go in and, I think, right? Or I'm not sure. Well, in any case, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out when we're not on the air. Let's see. So, anyway, there's our Fantasy Formula One update. www.auwishbone.com. We've already mentioned the book, so I want to, but again, since this is our last chance to talk about it before we actually do it, just want to remind everybody, March 8th and March 9th, March 8th, Friday in Birmingham, Little Professor in Homewood, March 9th, Saturday at the Auburn Oil Booksellers. Come on out, pick up a book, just talk to us, hang out, have a beer at the Birmingham and whatever. Should be a very fun time. All right, we do have an email newsletter. I haven't sent one out yet, but John has gone in and created us, as I was very happy and appreciate him doing this, an email newsletter thing. So if you go to www.auwishbone.com, right below the big orange box to become a patron is a big white box where you can put your email address in. And I promise I will not spam you. John will not spam you. The purpose of this is just to send out occasional notices, updates, reminders for things like our trip to Birmingham or Auburn, or like if we have a book coming up, or if we have a new thing to participate in, like the brackets for March Madness or the Bowl Pick'em. It's for stuff like that, right? So we will not abuse it. So we just want to make sure we have a way to get the word out to everybody, not just the patrons. Like right now, we can send stuff out to the patrons, but I want to be able to get stuff out to everybody. So, let's see. Oh, I had a note here. I have two books coming out. I'll be doing a Kickstarter for them. More about that when we get a little bit closer. But I'm really excited. I got two fiction books coming out soon that I'm going to be putting up on Kickstarter the way that we did the Auburn books. Now we got to thank the patrons, as we always do. And I bet I didn't even... Let's go ahead and do Guess the Game first. Actually, no. Before we do Guess the Game... Coming up, we have Around the SEC and listener questions, plus Guess the Game. But first, it's our occasional list of the biggest nincompoops, idiots, and doofuses that collectively represent this week's worst coaches in the world. And I only have one. I only have one this time, so we're going to make it fast. It is Dennis Gates. John has gone and found the name for me. I didn't even know. Dennis Gates, the Missouri coach. How do you go 0-16 in the SEC? How is that possible, John? I'm asking you, John. How is that possible?
I think, wasn't he also the name of the villain in one of the villains in National Treasure?
I think you're probably right. Characters?
I think that's a great... So maybe that's how. He has a hobby. He spends a lot of time away from the team searching for stolen artifacts.
He goes into the coaching office, and instead of like drawing up the game plan, he bangs on the desktop and a map drops out the bottom that shows him where to find the Constitution or something. I think you're on the right track. That's it. You, Dennis Gates, the Missouri coach, and I hope I'm not jinxing us on Tuesday. You are the worst coach in the world. There it is. All right, let's get on into Guess the Game, and then I'm going to do the... Well, actually, you know what? I think I've got the patrons thing up now, so... Actually, I don't. Crap. I'm all discombobulated here. Let's go ahead and do Guess the Game, then we'll thank the patrons. Here we go. Who can
it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, with Guess the Game 116. The listeners won't know this, but I sent this in at the last minute because I have been sick all week, and I think I've been poisoned by Boris. All right, Guess the Game 116 has been sent in by Mr. Trey Jackson. Fair warning on this one. There is a wild and raucous celebration that lasts almost a full minute. So,
oh, wow.
Like, the announcers get completely drowned out. But this was a fun one. So let's listen to what Trey sent in.
There'll be something else spectacular happen in this game. It always does.
Well, you know,
we set off
yeah.
the top of this game.
You know, number five wants this kickoff. He wants the tone for that play.
He's one of the deep guys with the. At the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I miss when Jordan Hare sounded like this. Been a while. These were the days.
Extra point attempt by. This place is still rumbling and rattling. It's good. 100-yard kickoff return. We talked earlier about, and you gave his speeds in both the 100 fast. Meters and also the 40.
Was one of the first guys over there said thanks for running that kickoff back.
All right, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
All right, the announcers were...
That was Ron Franklin and Gottfried, right? The greatest duo in college football history.
An older ESPN Saturday night game.
Yeah.
Okay, so and it was a late kickoff return by Auburn to put us ahead late in the game. Makes me think of the... Utah State game. It's either Utah State or Washington State. One was the first game in like 2010, and one was the first game in 2013, I think.
Washington State was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it 2013? Oh, crap.
But so in one of them, we returned a couple of kickoffs at the end to eke out a victory.
We did.
Right? Is that...
Yes.
Or was it 2009?
Well,
because the other thing is, I think the kick returner was Trey Mason, and as a freshman, maybe even. Or that's what makes me want to say like,
I know that we had. I feel like we had a kick return against Washington State, maybe the first game of 2013 with the former Alabama player transfer that was taillights. You remember?
Okay.
We just talked about his name the other day. I couldn't remember it. Now I've forgotten it again. He was there with Trey. He was there with Cap. He was the other guy. He was the speed guy, a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I got another idea, though. There's another game entirely that's suggesting itself to me. How do you feel about 2000 against Nick Saban's LSU and the great Tim Carter running back that kickoff? I feel like Ron Franklin and I feel like Franklin and Gottfried would have been on that 2000 because they were late 90s, 2000s. Okay. I remember Tim Carter running back a big kickoff return against LSU and Saban that night. But I don't know if this is it. But that's the one that first comes to my mind, just like that one first came to yours. I don't know.
You want to go to the hint file then?
Yeah.
It'll be the tiebreaker between those two?
Yeah, I like it. All right. But yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward Tim Carter 2000 LSU, but I agree with you. It could very well be one of those Gus/Chizik teams again, like the opening game of the season. So let's see what the hint.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's get rid of the bleeps and enjoy the raucousness once more.
There'll be something else spectacular happen in this game. It always does.
Well, you know,
set off the top of this game.
You know, Treveris Robinson, number 5, wants this kickoff. He wants the tone for that play.
He's one of the deep guys with Tim Carter. At the goal line. Opening in the middle.
I love that sound. That's the best sound in the world.
Especially because it's making Nick Saban sad.
Yes, if it's the one we're thinking of. Run for power. I can listen to Jordan Hare go crazy all night. That's fine.
Extra point attempt by Duvall. This place is still rumbling and rattling. It's good. 100-yard kickoff return.
We talked earlier about Carter, and you gave his speeds in both the 100 fast. Meters and also the 40.
And Travis Robinson was one of the first guys over there, said thanks for running that kickoff back.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the answer file.
So old Travis Robinson was involved in that play as well and apparently had done something bad a play before. I bet he fumbled or something. Yeah, because you remember Travis was a receiver before he moved to defensive back.
Yep.
So, and now he's a defensive
coordinator. Damon Duvall is the kicker,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, got a nice little roll call. Yeah, that would have been Ben Leard's quarterback of that team. I feel pretty good, 2000 LSU. What do you think?
Yep.
All right, let's go to the last one.
All right, Jonathan Vandermeer. If you guys figured out that this is Auburn playing LSU in the year 2000, then you got it. Thank you, Trey Jackson, for sending that in. If you'd like to be like Trey and send in a play for Guess the Game, you can find me on X, Facebook, and Instagram. It is all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Warrior.
All right.
That was a good one.
That was good.
Your memory was good, but also, like, I should have thought further back because I don't think Godfrey and Franklin were doing ESPN games at, like, it. You know,
but they should have been. They should have been.
I think they were out. So
yeah, oh, that's too bad. I mean, all other considerations aside, now there were others. I just think they were the two best. They did the job the best. That job they did the best of any. I would listen to them over any other pair of football announcers if it was just them doing that job. So, all right, let me quickly run through our patrons. We appreciate your help. We don't have ads on this show other than for our upcoming events. And so, and our books. So we want to thank the folks who keep the lights burning in the studios here in the White Rock Studios. That includes Samuel Salvatore, who notes that
tonight's forecast, a freeze is coming
with pearl white snow. Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crackham, Logan Chilton. When I heard Rule Britannia was gone, I said, Yeah, I did too, but we had to do what we had to do. Ann Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David WDE Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, and 2023 AU Wishbone NCAA Bracket Challenge Champion. By the way, I love Jared's conspiracy theory that Boris sabotaged him.
He's trying to weaken you before the pick'em, Jared.
That's it. Well, Boris is going to be down in your neck of the woods soon, Jared, so better watch out. Jared's going to be off at a convention, I believe, is why he's not going to be able to join us. If Carroll Shelby would have seen the Alabama fan base on Saturday, oh, he would have said,
I don't speak Italian, but he ain't happy.
Amen to that. I tweeted out a gif of an animated gif of Godzilla and Jet Jaguar shaking hands. I said, this was me in Tennessee after the Alabama game the other night. I was like, I'm not sure which one of us is Jet Jaguar and which is Godzilla, but, you know, that's cool. Let's see. Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor wants us to point out, that's the Alabama fan base.
They're celebrating right in front of me.
That's the Alabama fan base when Tennessee won that game.
No!
I honestly may have enjoyed Alabama losing to Tennessee more than I enjoyed us beating Mississippi State, and that's a sad, sad thing I don't like to admit too much, but it's probably true. Richard Stevens, starting July 12th, Win Carroll has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
That's really good. Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Card, and Alex Brown, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby, Harry Zagger, H-Town Danny. I walked down a street where the houses were numbered 64K, 128K, 256K, 512K, and 1MB. That was a trip down memory lane. They're getting more and more painful every dang week, John. I don't know if we can take... I don't know if...
Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
In home, Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. Of course, the good old...
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
could always listen to the Portals theme, otherwise known as the Doctor Who theme. I know there's people that listen to our show that have no idea where that tune is. That's the Doctor Who. It's one of many, many Doctor Who theme songs over the years. There are always variations on that. Let's see. No one fights like Gaston. Not me sitting here getting my hopes up. Well, we'll see. Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Rhodesian Mudflap. Did we get a listener question about Rhodesian Mudflap? I'm so excited. All right. Hold that thought. Because we've been giving him crap for weeks about that name. And he responded. I'm so excited. Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan. Everybody is now like waiting with bated breath to hear the story of Rhodesian Mudflap. I'm afraid it's going to be a letdown. I didn't read it yet because I wanted to save it for the show. But I'm afraid it's going to be a letdown. I don't know if it could possibly be as big as we've built it up. It's not his fault or his or her fault. It's just, we'll see. Theodore Gary, Todd Robinson. Oh, Van Allen Plexico for president. Hey, hey, hey.
Come on. Come on, man.
Please clap.
Hey, there we go. Let's see. Wade Ward, Walker White, QB1, says...
Frosty!
I like it. WDE Richie, Walker... that's two. WDE Richie, Walker White for QB1. So we've got two Walker Whites back-to-back. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, soon to be on his way down to the plains, Boris the Tiger.
What?
Brandon Smith, Cato the Barner says, sorry, everyone, but Fire Mickey Dean season is back upon us. Oh, boy. He keeps us up to date on that. We appreciate having him. Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams says...
Whether you like it or not, learn to love it.
Yep.
Because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! Oh, love it, love it, love it. Good old Ric Flair. I saw that. Did Sting retire or something? Did I see something about that?
Yes.
Okay, so... I just said I was glad he found something to do after the police broke up. So, yeah. Yeah. Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle87, Woody the Jag, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram, a few more patrons left, Alex Nguyen, AU Falling Up, Barls Charkley, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, Elizabeth Donald, even Potato laughs thinking we used to have Barbie as a coach. That's
Please clap.
That's good. We
gotta get better at celebrating.
I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains reminds us that the barbecue...
You have failed me for the last time.
Not yet, because it's coming up again soon. A.K.A. Auburn Dad for life. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
New York Tiger says, War Eagle Boris... What? Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Oh, by the way, everybody in my house is absolutely sure I'm going to leave Boris in Auburn again. They're like, you're going to leave him again. He doesn't even want to go because he thinks you're going to leave him down there. And I'm like, that he would love to be left down there again. He had a great time with the Ringers last time.
We could talk about technical solutions here.
Leave a stamp self-addressed box for him in case I leave him.
No, I'm thinking more on the lines of some kind of... like Apple chip device that beeps using your phone if you get too far away from it.
You have left your small tiger behind, large, scary tiger behind, yeah. Like my backpack. I could put my backpack, I have a little backpack when I put it on his neck thing. That's a good idea. Good thinking, John. Way to go. Let's see. Royce Alvarez, Ruth Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I'm at the bottom of this list because...
Brock Vincent!
That's the wrong button.
Well, why are you kind of monkey boy?
Oh, I've never messed that up before. I've always hit it right on the second, and I screwed it up. Sorry about that, Spanky. But it's a little variation. Keep you on your toes. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. We have two Auburn Elvises. Steven Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rome, plus our one-time anonymous donors and our... other various hangers-on and relations. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron and also sign up for the email update on that page right below the big orange button. And now I think we are too. We've done that. We've done that. We've done that. I must be.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
It's a trap.
What do we got?
All right, we're leading off with an email from Preston Settle entitled Rhodesian Mudflap.
There it is.
He says, John or Van, I would like to take a brief moment to explain Rhodesian Mudflap. Right. I like to change my call sign about once a year. This past November, my son Forrest and I were traveling to watch Auburn play a basketball game. We stopped outside of Montgomery to stretch our legs. At the rest stop, Forrest picked up a large rubber object and drug it out of the woods. Like any other seven-year-old boy, he was proud of his discovery and wanted to show it to me. He had drug up an old mud flap that had flown off a hunting truck. Ah. The mud flap had a homemade camo pattern that somebody did with spray paint. The camo print had a strong resemblance to Rhodesian Army camo pattern. I looked at my son and said, wow, you found a Rhodesian mud flap.
Wow.
After coming up with that on the fly, I thought that was a good call sign, and Rhodesian mud flap would be my call sign for the AU Wishbone. As always, War Eagle, Preston Settle.
I don't have facts to back this up.
But now we do. Now we have the facts to back that up. That's cool. So now we know. I got to say, I kept thinking drink. It sounded like something you'd get at a bar, in a bar in Africa. But this is even better because this involves a young man and his prideful discovery. And then it's an inspiration and it's cool. And that's really cool. So that's good.
I don't know if his dad let him take it home or if he had to leave it.
I hope he left it, but anyway. It served its purpose as an inspiration, and after that, you can throw it away. Throw it back in the jungle for the next person to find.
It's true. Somebody else needs that joy of discovery as well. All right, we have a few more emails. Our next email is from Wade Ward, who says, I just read where Jabari Smith is the youngest player in NBA history to reach the following milestones.
Okay.
1,500 points, 1,000 rebounds, 200 three-pointers, and 100 blocked shots. He doesn't turn 21 until May. Had he stayed at Auburn, he would be a junior this year.
Oh, my
gosh. Just for fun.
Don't say that.
Imagine if the basketball had the same rules as baseball, and this was Jabari's final year at Auburn. Imagine we had the same roster with the exception, you know, Jay Will with Jabari Smith on it.
Yeah.
Would this team be significantly better?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. We would be leading the SEC. Yeah, yes. Because scoring is the one thing we've struggled with, and he could score.
Consistent outside shooting. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot better guys now in this team to benefit him to space the floor when because if teams went outside to go over him, that he could throw it inside easily to Broom, and that could do some damage too. So,
I tell you that the thought that he wouldn't even be a senior yet is just gutting me. Oh man, I know how those Kentucky people feel now about the one and dones. You know,
They feel like that about all of them. Yep. All right, and then he ends with, I can't believe spring football practice has started. Football season will be here before we all know it. Thanks, Wade.
I have my older daughter's boyfriend's a big NBA guy, and he was not impressed with Jabari at first in the NBA, but next time I see him, I'm going to say, so you know he's like the youngest player to get to all these milestones now, right?
Yeah, I think my impression is last year Houston was a very undisciplined team, bad coach. Some other players some of their guards are very selfish, and they have a new coach this year that's really kind of cracked down and realized that Jabari is, you know, part of the future of that team franchise, and they've kind of cracked down on some of the knuckleheadedness, and it's working for him. So
good. Well, I'm really glad to hear that.
All right. Our next question is from Todd Robinson, and it's a what if question.
Ooh,
he says,
bring it on.
Hello, John, Van, and His Majesty Boris.
Dun, 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 dun. Boris is waving his little paw like
Boris's
the queen.
Head's big enough without listeners sending emails like this. All right. He says, Todd says, ran across an interesting hypothetical question and wanted to hear your answer. If you could have any player from any era who played for your biggest rival and have them play on your team instead, who would it be? He said, from Bama, I would have to go Derrick Henry, 2013 to 2015. Imagine having him in the backfield with Nick Marshall in 2013
from the
defensive position. I think about Derek Thomas from 1985 to 1988.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was incredible.
For Georgia, I'd have to go to Matthew Stafford, 2006, 2008. Would have been fun to see him and Ben Tate in the backfield together. And on defense, I'd love to pick Champ Bailey, 1999 to 2002. Do you pick the best player overall or the most consequential player, such as a year where we needed one more piece to go to the next level? Thanks, and War Eagle.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, too, right there. Well, Florida's not our biggest rival, but we've said on this show many times that if Emmitt Smith had gone to Auburn, we'd have won at least the 1988 National Championship, maybe 87, maybe 89, but definitely 88. I mean, there's just no question. We absolutely 100%. Would have won it, right? Because we lost one game by 1 point, and he would have scored a touchdown. That would have been that.
And then the national title of the game was Notre Dame beat West Virginia, and we'd have kicked either one of those teams.
Oh, of course, for sure. But I mean, as far as Alabama and Georgia go, I like the Derek Thomas. I think that's a really good call on offense. I mean, you could throw a Julio Jones out there on one of those teams. And
again, Julio Jones flips sides in the 2010 season.
Man.
Think about that. You put Julio Jones with Cam.
Yeah, or the Georgia receiver that was really good that year, since he kind of did Alabama and Georgia. There was that Georgia guy that had like 3 touchdowns on us in the first quarter before we came back and beat him.
Edwards?
I don't
remember.
Give me
2 seconds.
Well, anyway. But, I feel like Alabama's had plenty of good players to choose from. I mean, it's kind of hard to go wrong with Derrick Henry. I mean, it depends on what year we'd have him. Did we need him? 2013, having one more somebody to help Trey. I mean, Cap was good, but Derrick Henry, my gosh.
Yeah, I try to think about it always from the who's the most valuable person. You know, A.J. Green is the guy we were thinking
A.J. about. Green, yeah.
I always think about is there one year we could have used one more a great offensive lineman and that would have been the difference?
You could give the 2013 team one more edge rusher besides mm-hmm. Derek, besides Hall,
D Ford.
Yeah, I'm thinking British lady. Besides D Ford, one more good edge rusher from Alabama or Georgia. I'm sure they had a couple they could spare. I don't know who it would have been, but you throw them out there, and I think that we'd have been able to beat Florida State, get a little more pressure on Winston, right?
I like that a lot.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so good deal.
I think that's a good question, and I want to hear some other listener suggestions of your answers to this, because I'm sure there are some smart people who will come up with something even better than you and I did.
For sure.
All right. The next question emails from Samuel Salvatore. He says, "Hello, guys of War Eagle. I'm so excited to finally meet you all this weekend."
Oh, yeah.
Revenge is so sweet against Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Are the refs trying to gain more attention than the players? That was the longest 10 minutes of the game ever because they blew a whistle every 20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. The refereeing, that's the thing, is they always say what you want. Call it however, but just be consistent. And the refereeing in the SEC this year has been so inconsistent. One half to the next is totally different.
It's just within games. They'll go game. They'll go 10 minutes so you deck somebody, and then they'll start calling touch fouls 30 feet from the basket.
That's
it. I know it drives the players crazy, too.
That's it. They don't call anything the first few minutes, and then as soon as the players start adjusting to that and thinking, okay, I can be a little more physical, then they start calling everything. And they've done that over and over and over. It's just, it's so frustrating.
And then they go back.
Pick a lane. Pick a lane, man. That's all we ask. I mean, how many times have we seen the play that we got, that we basically lost the national championship game on, the Final Four game on, and no foul? In the Mississippi State game and the Tennessee game, there were plays where our guys were just knocked all over the place, and they didn't call a foul. And then a little bit later, somebody walks by somebody, and they're like, foul, So inconsistent.
That's it.
Samir Dowdy, that's who I was trying to think of. I can't ever think of Samir Dowdy's name. It's not a name you hear a lot,
Great. The next email's from a Twitter
Here's a question for me real quick before I forget it.
All right.
Samir Dowdy, most underrated player in the Bruce Pearl era. I think he might be.
Maybe.
I think he might be. And I mean,
think, I think especially because that one season where he was the kind of the star was canceled because of COVID.
Yes.
2020 season.
2020.
That was going to be his NCAA tournament, I think, to go do a bunch of damage.
Oh, yes. He was going to be great. And he had the point guard that was in the back.
McCormick
was really coming into his own that year, too. That team, guard play, John, that was the last. That 2020 team was our last great guard team, and they never got to show it. That team was built for the NCAA tournament, and they never got to show it.
Agree.
It's a tragedy.
All right, a couple more questions. This one's from it's a Twitter handle. I think it's Deborah Labanist.
Okay.
And it says, "Wait, is Auburn women's basketball good? We'd love to hear if you have thoughts about this on the AU Wishbone because this is an awesome way to make it to the NCAA tournament if they do. And I don't know if you saw this, but Auburn played Florida on Sunday. At the end of the game, Auburn was up." Missed a free throw. Florida got it. Drove down the court. The Auburn player, the Florida player, shot a three-pointer as time expired, and an Auburn player blocked it. And that's how the game ended. And
so
that's
we won.
We won, and that's probably going to be push us over the top in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, awesome. Well, I haven't followed it closely, but I see it go by on Twitter and so forth occasionally, and I knew that they seemed to be trending up. I'll put it that way. They seemed to be trending up. I think this coach is the real deal, and they're getting better, and that's great.
Yeah. No, I think Johnny Harris has done a good job, and they're definitely trending in the right direction. It's exciting.
I was a huge,
very, very happy for them.
I was a huge fan of Auburn basketball for women, the women's team, when they had the three national championship games in a row, and I just was waiting for them to get back, and they never really got back in that form ever again, really. So it's just been kind of like a long wait. That was a long time ago.
All right, two more. This one's from Bill Miner. It says, guys, since we talked about a lot of things in the basketball realm last week, what would you say is your personal favorite basketball win in the history of the program?
Oh.
He says, maybe give top five candidates if you want to rank them. I don't know if I could do this on top of my head, but I could throw a couple out.
Well, I mean, you got to I'm not saying I'm ranking it here, but I think you've got to start with the Kentucky game to get us to the Final Four.
Okay.
And I mean, I would also throw in beating Kansas and North Carolina in that same run.
Yes.
That was special.
Yes, yes, yes.
That was special. And then our win over
Tennessee in the SEC tournament final.
Oh, that year. Yeah, that team can take its own top five. Besides them, though, because they're special. They're special. Beating UNLV to get to the Elite Eight against Louisville in 86 with Sonny. With Chris Morris and Chuck Person, that team, Jeff Moore, that was a great, great win. I listened to it on the radio, I think, and had Jim Fife yelling about Gerald Patio and that crowd, and that was a great game.
Wait, I saw us beat Bradley in round of the NCAA tournament in Atlanta. Hersey Hawkins had like 40 points, but Chris Morris outdueled him and won the game. And so
Terrence Howard steal and dunk on the last play of the game, went on to play Rhodey in Iron Man. Different Terrence Howard. slightly different Terrence Howard. That was a good one.
You know, I think about that one Cliff Ellis home game. Chris Porter, I think it was Ole Miss.
I think it was LSU.
LSU TV game? And they just went bananas.
The huge dunk.
Yes.
Yeah. I know. I mean, there's so many, which you wouldn't think you'd be able to say.
I think some of the, maybe the first time after Bruce was the coach, maybe the first time we beat Kentucky at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was,
Oh, yeah. That was one of those. Well, I know that we beat Kentucky with Bruce a few years ago when the students sat out all night. It was like one of the first times that was really a big thing.
Yep.
And, I think was that the Walker Kessler Jabari Smith against Kentucky? That was huge. Yeah, because my nephew was out there. That was so cool. That was great. Man, those days were so good. That was just a magical January there, December, January, when that team just couldn't lose, rolled over everybody. Students were going crazy. It was just magical. It was so nice.
I'm going to put in a spot for like the John Kaler win at Rupp Arena. That like we were in college at that time, and that was just like an absolute. If you don't know what I'm talking about, like Auburn was down its top three players or whatever, and this guy was, John Kaler was just kind of
the chubby white dude. with scrappy, a big mustache.
Chubby white forward, and he just went crazy. He did a little Dalton Connect in that game. It went crazy. I did. And I kind of outdueled all these NBA players at Kentucky, one in Rupp Arena, which we never do.
And hit a three at the buzzer, I think, to win it.
It was a really magical performance, and I'll never forget that.
That was great. Yeah, there have been a whole lot over the years. And I would even say, the SEC tournament in 2019 where we turned it on and beat that Florida game. I'll never forget that Florida game because I thought we were going to lose to Florida and be out immediately. And they fought and scratched and clawed. That was a game, man, back and forth. That may have been, you know, that may have been the hardest game we played on that winning streak until Virginia. Well, the New Mexico State game, we won't talk about that one. Did you see where the New Mexico State coach is?
No.
That's Mississippi State's coach now.
Yes. Because he's good. He's a good freaking coach.
Yeah, he is.
All right. We're going to think of some more. But if you have ideas, let us know. Last email is from Josh Corbett, who says, Boris, John, or Van, it seems the talking heads want to split college football into two leagues and expand the playoff even more. I took the time to do what I think it should look like. With major college football programs break away from the SBS to start their own thing, when you have time, take a look at this and let's ponder it. My question to y'all this week is, if you're in control of college football, how War Eagle, let's hope the basketball team is motivated to win for Lior.
I need you to repeat the question again because it blanked you out.
If you're in charge of college football, how do you structure the leagues and the playoff? Yeah.
That's going to take more thinking than I'm prepared to do.
No, tonight. I know. I honestly was going to talk about that around the SEC, but I shelved it because we could talk about this for weeks.
Yeah,
we're not going there.
We'll do a show on this. We'll have it as a feature thing because I like it, but I don't want to just throw it in at the very end in the last couple of minutes. So great, we appreciate that. Let's file that away. Did that come in our email? Because I need to get a copy of what he had, so I want to take a look at it. All right. So we're going to take a look at that. That'll be fun. Meanwhile, we're going to hop in the Aubiemobile of his new statue. The goat has a statue. Very exciting.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
We watched it. We watched the whole ceremony. Amy found it on her phone, and we shot it to the TV on Apple TV, and we watched the whole ceremony last week or whenever of Aubie's statue being unveiled, and it was really, really cool. I was not expecting it to be in color.
I wasn't either.
That was interesting. I've never seen that before. But I think it looks good. It looks great.
Quite sharp.
Yeah. So good for Aubie.
I like the flag.
Yeah, it has the flag there. And Mira's like, or somebody was like, are they going to steal the flag? I'm like, it's part of it. It's solid. It's just painted to look cloth, but it's solid. You know, it doesn't look like it. It looks like a cloth thing hanging there in a photo. So we got to make sure, I'm under orders, to make sure that Boris gets to go see Cousin Aubs and gets a picture with him with the statue. Okay, so we can't forget to do that.
And a reminder of my phone. Keep
there going. We go. There it is. Good. All right. So Sunbelt Billy, John. Steve Spurrier, His Majesty, weighed in. And we love us some Spurrier now. Hated him when he coached Florida. Ambivalent toward him at South Carolina. But now he's an elder statesman and we love him. He said, quote, there's a feeling around the Gators. Feeling around the Gators of what the heck are we doing? There's a lot of questions that I don't have the answer to about organization. Just because you hire the most people doesn't mean you're going to win. All these extra people, I question how much that really helps. So Spurrier is like undermining Billy Napier, Sunbelt Billy. Can't win the Sunbelt without Sunbelt Billy.
Listen, you cannot imagine how bad that is for Billy Napier that Spurrier is calling him out.
Calling him out and saying you're hiring a bunch of people and I don't know what they're for.
Yeah, but also, like, you think you're Nick Saban because you're hiring all these analysts, but they're not. If they don't help you make decisions, if they get in the way because you got too many cooks in the kitchen, then what are you doing?
That's it. Wow. All right. So we'll see the continuing soap opera of Sunbelt Billy and Steve Spurrier. It sounds like a band from the 70s. But, John, I'm going to let you go to bed now and get some rest. I want you healthy for this weekend. So you go get some rest. You're going into work tomorrow. You take it easy. You don't overdo it. You don't overtax yourself. You drink lots of fluids. And you come back strong for this weekend. Do you understand your orders here? That is the plan. All right. We all appreciate you crawling out of your deathbed to do this show. Now go back to it. Get you some rest. And any final thoughts before you crawl away? getting your hibernation.
Let's go finish strong.
Let's finish strong. Let's beat Missouri. Make Truman cry. Make Truman cry. Poor little Truman.
Don't let their coach steal the Constitution or anything.
That's right. He's in there knocking on that desk trying to get the Constitution to drop out of that secret compartment, man.
He's going to TV timeout and everybody's going to be distracted. He's going to be trying to pull something.
So. That's exactly what's going on. I think we've gotten the bottom of it. There it is. All right. That's it. We will see you guys Friday and or Saturday, Birmingham and Auburn. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Can't wait to see you guys. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.